welcome back to Children Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being with us. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here. I'm going to give you a couple of scripture references real quick to go check these out. 2 Kings 16:3, 2 Kings 21:6, 2 Kings 22:18 through 20, and 23:4 through 10. And I'll try and get this article up for you as well. But folks, these are talking about when Israel was involved in sacrificing children. King Manasseh was the worst. He sacrificed his own son in fire. I bet you didn't know that. His own son sacrificed in fire to Moloch. That was the king of Judah. So when King Josiah came into power, he had all those altars torn down and destroyed, and he stopped the sacrificing of infants and children to the devil, because that's what they were doing. And we need to be on top of this. Go to randallterry.com, randallterry.com. There'll be a training video coming up here in the next hour to tell you exactly how to organize a protest in your city. randallterry.com. Critically important that we get on top of this, folks, because Planned Parenthood and that whole bunch, including Antifa, Antifa's actually going to the justices' homes. All right, I want to get on to this other topic matter because, there's so much that's going on, and you need to be informed so you can be in prayer, so you can contact your senators and your congressional representative at 202-224-3121 and make your voice heard. The Senate, by the way, is supposed to be this week hearing some kind of legislation now. They're going to try to legislate Roe v. Wade in light of what they think might happen to it. And they're pushing in the Senate to try to, I guess, somehow turn it into an actual legislated law that you can kill babies in the United States of America. Innocent blood shed. So call your senators, call your congressmen, and tell them you want Roe v. Wade overturned and you do not want a law that makes it a law to kill children. All right, my next guest, he's a former diplomat specializing in international security affairs. He served in the Trump and the Bush administration. He's also a former deputy assistant inspector general, former Navy, former Navy, Navy vet, and a Navy Warfare College graduate. And people who I highly respect and are highly respected refer to him as being somewhat of a savant when it comes to understanding geopolitical matters and international political risk. I want to welcome Paul Janicek to the program. Paul, welcome. Good to have you.
Oh, Greg, it's always a blessing to be with you and your good audience. And the check is in the mail for that introduction you gave me. I wanted to mention, I know that we have national security noise to get on to, but the vote that you are referencing with respect to the Senate is something that Schumer is supposed to bring up, I believe, today. He's filing a cloture motion, and then on Wednesday, the idea would be Wednesday, they would be setting the vote. I love reading the opposition's opposition research. And what I can tell you is even the Democrats give it a low chance of passing. That doesn't matter. We've got to keep the heat up.
Yes.
Here. We've got to keep people mobilized, and we got to keep them mobilized, particularly in their hometown.
Yes.
So if they can get out and show support for this issue, I sort of look at, if you don't think the spirit of Moloch isn't alive and well, it most certainly is, and it's operating in America. I mean, the Bohemian Grove has named their local part of the Russian River Lake Moloch, for crying out loud. If you don't think that that stuff still exists this day and is very real, it is, which means the curses that come with it in that
are
day
also, are also
are also
real.
On us. And if you want to see our position improve in the world and within the law in the United States, we got to pull that curse off of our law.
No doubt.
So,
no doubt.
Yeah. So, and so with that, fire away.
Well, and so, well, and in addition to that, we were talking about this, we were coming on air, you and I kind of in the green room, but you know, we've got, today is a celebration day, or was a celebration day in Russia. And Putin made it very clear, you know, that he thinks that he's well justified in attacking the Ukraine. And it is an attack. It is an invasion. And I was on a call just this last week, and I'll get that information up for you as well, folks. But a former economic advisor to Putin said his goal is, number one, he wants to do an ethnic cleansing of the Ukrainian people. And he wants to take back the Eastern European bloc that they lost when the Soviet Union was dispelled. So that means he wants to take back a portion of, if not all, of Germany. And the pressure that they're putting on relative to the pipeline and the gas pipeline and Biden's ineptitude is a major issue when it comes to that particular situation. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I just had seen an article that one of the countries over there that said that they wanted a derogation. I'm not even sure what that means, Paul. What is a derogation?
I would need the context of what it is they say that they.
They want a derogation when it comes to derogation, civil law and common law, a partial suppression. Okay, so they want a derogation as it relates to being involved in the stopping of the importing of Russian oil.
Oh, okay. It's basically a combination of codified divestiture, if you will, I don't know how else to put it, but it's not quite law, but it sort of is. It's really difficult to explain, but it sounds like sort of going along with what the G7
Bulgaria
said over the weekend.
Yeah, Bulgaria says that it'll veto the EU oil sanctions on Russia if it doesn't get a derogation from the proposed ban on buying Russian oil. So there you go.
Yeah, they basically want to exist outside of what the European Union and the G7 moved on over the weekend.
Right.
And that brings up another issue that is related to all of this, is that the Russians have been used willingly, might I add, throughout this whole saga as cover for the progress of the Iranian nuclear negotiations in Vienna.
Yes.
Is that throughout all of this, the Russians were doing the heavy lifting in between the United States and the Iranians, because the United States and Iran are not meeting face to face, or have not been. The negotiations are now stalled out. And so while the entire world was focusing on Ukraine, where Russia is clearly the aggressor, you and I agree on that. They are the wrongful party here.
Yes.
They may have been doing their motive, within the heart of their motive, there may have been some right things, but done in the wrong way, and probably knowing Putin for the wrong reason. That also being said, Zelensky is not a good guy. George Soros is right behind that guy.
I hear you. But in talking with several different Ukrainians that have been very involved in all of this process, they question the criminality or the characterization of the criminality of Zelensky.
I tend to as well, because when it comes to Ukraine, criminality, I hate to say this because it sounds like I'm indicting an entire people. Criminality is just doing business in a lot of cases. Where I was going to say with Zelensky, yep, that the one person who is a great deal worse than Zelensky is Poroshenko. And I think that what originally the deep state wanted was either Zelensky to flee or to achieve his martyrdom in the cause and reinstall Poroshenko.
I'm sure
that is my,
yeah. They wanted a puppet. The bottom line is that, and this is the second half of what The Economist said, Putin wants an ethnic cleansing of Ukrainians, and he wants a Putin puppet back in charge of the Ukraine that is going to do Moscow's bidding again. And that was part of the reason why they got rid of Poroshenko, because Poroshenko, and I forget the other guy's name, but it's a very close similarity. They're both victors from 2014. But
Yanukovych.
So Yanukovych was an absolute Putin puppet. Poroshenko was a shadowy Putin puppet. And that's why in 2019, they got rid of him. And if Trump had not been in office here in the United States, Zelensky never would have been able to have done that. That never would have been able to have happened if President Trump hadn't been the president of the United States, if the United States hadn't actually exerted itself as a power player on the international scene. Okay. Yeah. When we get back, let's jump into China, Japan, and the U.S., because we've got a major ordeal, a major naval ordeal that's taking place there. Back after this.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country. By contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights, I am Patriot Mobile.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country. By contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights, I am Patriot Mobile.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner. I want to introduce you to a product that I think will interest everyone. The product's called Natural Sleep, available at cgrwellness.com. I've been seeing clients in the alternative health industry for over 40 years. One common problem seems to stand out. People just can't sleep. Maybe it's too much stress. Maybe they've gotten older. Whatever the reason, we have a solution you need to get a great night's sleep. You can find it at cgrwellness.com. Natural Sleep uses a combination of vitamin, minerals, and some very healthy calming herbals to support relaxation and calmness before sleep. It's a fast-acting liquid formula that tastes great with no negative side effects or hangover effect in the morning. And it's non-habit forming. The product's available in a 16-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and get $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code Chosen Gin Radio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your country.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through.
Donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg,
Navy vet, Navy Warfare College grad, and he is currently a international political risk analyst as well, and it is my sincere pleasure to have Paul. I've known Paul for a number of years now, and just greatly appreciate his expertise. Let's get into this situation of what's going on. You alerted me to the fact that China on late last week had launched one of the largest amphibious. How do you refer to them? Regatta?
They refer to it themselves in a similar terms that we were. Carrier strike group, okay. of their aircraft carrier Liaoning, as well as eight missile frigates in a rather impressive armada, and there were amphibious ships that they married up with when they put to sea last week.
Okay, and so they have steamed basically into the Japanese seas near.
They have now kicked past the Sea of Japan. They're in the Western Pacific, and they have maneuvered past our large fleet base called Sasebo, which is in the Nagasaki Prefecture of Japan. That's extreme southern Japan. And they've maneuvered past Okinawa, where we have a number of, that's where the U.S. Marines and the Air Force has a large contingent, and they are now east of Taiwan. And what they're doing is they're operating as a combined fleet in what is known in naval aviation as blue water operations. That's where the aircraft carrier is launching and recovering airplanes, and the airplanes really have nowhere to go except back to the ship. There's no land to divert to. So they are that far away from their homeland operating right now east of Taiwan.
East of Taiwan. Okay, so if I'm looking at a map of Japan, and I've got Hokkaido in the far north, and mm-hmm. I've got Fukuoka and Kumamoto in the Kagoshima, I guess, would be the mm-hmm. furthest down to the south. Give me an idea then in relation to those landmarks of where we're talking about.
We're talking about another 800 miles to the south. So very quickly. They covered a very long distance over about 5 days.
So now we're talking. Okay, so now I see Okinawa.
Mm-hmm.
And are they north of Okinawa?
They are south. They are south of Okinawa. They are off of Taiwan itself.
Wow. So they're off the tip of Taipei.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are, it's to the point now to where, for people who are avid social media folks, there are Taiwanese fishermen who are sending pictures of the aircraft carrier. It's that close to their waters.
My. And of course, Taiwan is a place that they have that they have threatened that they're going to attack.
Yeah, they consider it a renegade province. The Chinese consider it a renegade province. They consider it theirs. They are viscerally offended that the United States aids Taiwan. We have enshrined in law called the Taiwan Defense Act that we will provide military support in the event of a general attack by the Chinese. And so not to be outdone, the Japanese, who have an aircraft carrier, it is at sea right now watching the Chinese carrier. We have the USS Abraham Lincoln strike group, which is at sea watching the Chinese carrier. Right. And the Chinese carrier emerged from the East China Sea into the Pacific Ocean at the same time that the USS Ronald Reagan, an aircraft carrier, U.S. aircraft carrier, left port for its what we call workups. It's basically that's where you take the ship out to sea, make sure it's in good working order, and then bring planes aboard, and you make sure that the crew and the airplanes all work together really well. So we now have four aircraft carriers, three of which, of course, are allied, as well as the Chinese. And so the waters that are in that area are already very busy with ships that cannot get into Shanghai in particular because of the COVID lockdown. So it's there's a lot of steel sitting on the Pacific Ocean in the Far East right now.
Give me an idea. I mean, what is your take with regards to this, Paul? What do you think the next steps are going to be, and why? I guess I don't know to a degree. Why do we need to be paying close attention to this?
Because China has been the sleeper issue. I'm sure it's no mystery to you and no mystery to your listeners that just before Ukraine was invaded by Russia, that Chinese premier and President Putin met in Beijing as the Winter Games were kicking off, that there was a great deal of speculation, at least in non-traditional establishment media, that this would be the time that the Chinese would use while the world was distracted with Ukraine to go after Taiwan. There was really some merit to that, but bluntly, I think that Ukraine continues to serve as a foil for attention, that right now, while much of the United States traditional media establishment focuses on this, the Chinese are menacing much of East Asia with the deployment of this carrier. And that is them effectively using the press. And the press over there, the Japanese press, is really pretty good about reporting just how many Americans are in the area. What I think is that this is the Chinese playing a very traditional game that they have played with reference to the United States, which is they play down their bad conduct, unlike the most of the rest of the countries that the United States is forced to confront. Iran, for example, North Korea is another example. Russia, yet another example. The Chinese tend to play this down because really what they're trying to do is they're trying to set the conditions that they are the great power and that they will have their way. And they're showing proof that they will have their way because the Americans are distracted. That's probably point number one and probably the primary point. The other thing that I would say, though, that we don't pay very much attention to at all in the United States, but we really have to.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Are very, very unpopular. The anecdotal information that I've derived, and it's just that, is that the Chinese Christian community has pulled together and they're holding together very quietly, very well in the face of this repression.
Right.
And on top of that, the factions within the Communist Party are using the public media to effectively bicker at each other. And amid all of this, and this is point two, is that this is a show of force by Xi going into the party Congress later this year. Probably could expect another episode like this, a projection of power.
because his position is slipping. And you may recall at one point, I think we even discussed on this show a couple of years ago at this point, that he was named president for life. Well, it was a moniker that was given to him, but it was never officially done as such. Right. It was a moniker. And I think it's now becoming he is president only for life, if you catch my drift.
I understand.
It's gotten that bad.
Paul, hold that. Folks, we gotta take a jump off with our radio audience, but I'm gonna encourage you, Paul, if you can stick around for a few minutes after. I'd like to talk a little bit more in developing this, and you're welcome to join us at chosengenerationradio.com. chosengenerationradio.com. Okay, folks, I'm here with Paul Janacek, and we're doing a little bit of overtime here on TECNTV.com on our social media pages, and we want you to understand, because there's this is pretty serious. So, Paul, I'm looking right now at a map, and I don't know if you're able to access what's being shown on social media. You can go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com, obviously mute the volume, and I would suggest using like Bing or use Firefox, better picture that way. But I've got up a picture of a map that shows Chinese fleet headquarters and major American Navy bases, first and second island chains. And so it shows the base at Sasebo, Yokosuka, Guam, and then Okinawa and Chinhe as the major American bases in that or in that general area. Then you've got Zhanjiang, Ningbo, and Qingdao as the major Chinese fleet headquarters. This would appear then to be were these launched from Zhanjiang in the south?
The ships that sortied from the Chinese side?
Yes, sir.
More towards up by Beijing. I have your site up right now, but the map is a little distorted in my view.
Okay. Are you on Firefox?
I am on, I'm actually on Brave, but,
okay. Yeah. There's only like two browsers that actually let TECNTV show well. One of them is something called Slim. And then the other one that I found that seems to work is Firefox, but Google.
No worries. Yeah. Well, I'll remember that for next time.
Okay. Anyway, so I found that map, and then I found a secondary map that's a little bit larger. And this map essentially is talking about the Pratas Islands, and that the fleet that we're talking about, some China military drill, was a drill. Essentially, how they would take over the Pratas Islands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My geography is failing me right now. The Chinese have effectively opted to identify what it is they're willing to fight over and how they're going to push in that first map, how they're going to push their defensive chain further and further out and consolidate their position along the way using sort of islands as stationary aircraft carriers, if you will.
Okay.
And they have done this down in, if you look southwest of Pratas Island, into the South China Sea. They've already done this in the Spratly Atoll. And the reason for that is that there's a great deal of oil and natural gas under it, in addition to the fact that their very jingoistic view is that it's not called the South China Sea for no reason. So that is there. That is in play here. Is a real sense of entitlement. So what they've been doing is they've been making extraterritorial claims, and the boldest one that they've made, and they went right past those islands, is that in between
Okinawa, you can support Chosen Generation and make a tax deductible donation by visiting
Japan. There are a number of smaller islands that are not really occupied. Nobody really inhabits them, but they're under the Japanese flag, although they are claimed by China. The Chinese Coast Guard has been in there making mischief and asserting their claim in the press while they do circles around these various islands. So the map that you have in terms of the sort of the layer of defense that falls back in on the Chinese coast, that's really pretty good. If you really want to understand it spatially, that's actually, I've seen that map. I know which one you're working with.
Okay.
If I would recommend to your listeners, get yourself a copy of that map and study it, because if things were to ever go real, that would be probably the best one to work with to understand how things are going down.
Okay. Relative to this now, how far, we've watched the quote unquote appeasement that's taken place in Ukraine, right? We've watched Putin push over there, and we've watched everybody kind of not really take an aggressive stance. Oh, we're afraid, afraid, we're afraid of the nuclear option, what have you. Putin, I think, was waiting and expecting China to assert itself. China obviously was expecting Putin to have taken Ukraine within 3 to 4 days, which would have made it very easy then for China to have made that assertion. You mentioned the tenuous position of Xi, and that now under the circumstances, because he threw himself into the Putin camp, and Rossi in Iran is in the Putin camp, and Rossi is, I'm sure, quite upset that Putin has taken certain Syrian forces and put them on the battlefield in the Russia-Ukraine war that Rossi expected were going to be available to him in this Hamas declaration of war that's just recently happened with Israel. A lot of moving parts here, Paul.
Talk. A lot. Interconnected. Interconnected, very deeply interconnected. And it had gotten to the point to where, and this really, I noticed the reaction. It was a little late. It was about 24 hours late. I noticed that Israeli military advisors ended up showing up in Kyiv at one point after the introduction of Hamas and Hezbollah to fight alongside some of the other irregular formations that the Russians were putting into battle. And this is mainly because they understand how to fight urban warfare really very well.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Gray.
And so they basically would be very useful for teaching whatever Russians they're still sending into the front to fight in urban conditions. They would be very useful to teach Russian soldiers how to do it. So naturally, the Israelis went in to show the Ukrainians, this is how we fight these guys.
Sure. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, exactly. Action begets reaction.
Well, and Israel is outstanding when it comes to fighting those kinds of wars, because they address that. I mean, that is an ongoing daily concern and issue for them.
They're doing it constantly, and unfortunately they're victims of their own success, because in 2006, you might remember, having been spending so much of their effort to deal with urban situations that are quasi-police operations, if you will, in places like the West Bank and Gaza, in 2006, when they did an outright invasion of southern Lebanon, it did not go well for the Israelis. And they they had to adjust their thinking. And between the United States and Israel, we've got a pretty good laboratory on how to wage urban warfare. Central conclusion is do it as little as you have to, but you have to maintain the expertise. What I would say in connection to the macroscopic pieces, I think your presumption is right. It's certainly as good as any of the other ones that I had heard about. Xi thought Putin would have this in the bag. I think Putin's number one problem was that there was no plan B. Originally, my understanding, based on what I was able to derive from people who are still more plugged in than I am directly, was the plan called for, and some of the early history of the fighting over Ukraine bears this out, is that there would be a decapitation strike by airborne and helicopter mobile Russian forces coupled with their Spetsnaz. And in addition to members of the Wagner group who had fanned out all over Kyiv, mm-hmm. along with some members of the Ukrainian general staff who were prepared to mutiny, there would be a decapitation strike that would involve taking Hostomel Airport. And you'll recall in the early hours of the fight, that's where the focus of the fighting was from the north, coming out of Belarus. And that the standard Russian army formations would just play a game of hurry up and catch up in order to consolidate that front line while the decapitation operation was going on. My money is on the British got a hold of the plan, and the Ukrainians were able to beat back the airborne invasion in Hostomel, and Putin really had no plan B at that point. And I think that that's where you began to see the entire Russian offensive fall apart. I think Xi had been briefed and assured that this would be quick, that there would be a, that once the decapitation had occurred, there would be a suing for peace where Russia could dictate its terms and probably return, Yushchenko, to power. As you correctly pointed out earlier, he was Putin's guy. I think that was probably the plan, was they would put him, or Yanukovych, I'm sorry, put him back in power. I think that was the plan all along, because he is still, as far as I know, technically speaking, he's still under asylum in Russia. I believe, I don't think he's a citizen. I think he's still an asylee.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, here we go that, their efforts have been significantly stalled because they did not expect the kind of resistance that they received. And thank God for that. And thank God for the Ukrainians that keep fighting. And in Mariupol, they have said, we are 100% not going to give in. Yeah. So, you know, We're going to continue to fight this fight as long as we live. So good on them for that as well. All right. Well, Paul, thank you. I know we're going to start encroaching on some time on TECN, and I don't want to do that, but I wanted to make sure and get folks as much up to date information, and in particular this topic of what's going on in the China Seas, because it is a situation that's not getting a lot of press right now. And of course that doesn't surprise me. The press is owned by China, so it doesn't surprise me they're not getting a lot of press, but this is potentially a major issue, and we're potentially looking at war in three spheres.
What you say about the press, Greg, I just say, you know, NBC News is just earning that paycheck, baby.
There you go. All right, Paul Janacek has been with us. Folks, thank you again so much for being with us and staying with us in the overtime. I will be cutting this up and getting this out as an individual piece as well. We'll have all of this up in our podcast formats for this afternoon, as we always do. And just, ladies and gentlemen, we do have power. Two things I want to remind you to do. Number one,
you can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Pray that against the Chinese and their regime and what's happening there, against Putin and what's happening there, against Hamas and the enemies of Israel. Pray that. But in addition to that, pick up the phone, make a phone call, 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. You've got a lot to talk to your senators and your congressmen about. You need to raise the issues with regards to America's help and assistance when it comes to these issues and making sure that we are fully, readily prepared militarily. And then in addition to that, let's not forget the abortion issue, randallterry.com. Get engaged, get involved. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, we will have to give
a response. End of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.